Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Steve Pilecki. Steve is the College of the Redwoods Agricultural Program Plant Propagation Instructor, and you've got a plant sale coming up really soon.
Yes, we do. That's going to be the end of April, Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th. And so we have a wide selection of plants this year. We have lots of annuals, perennials. We have grafted apple trees, a lot of different landscape type of plants as well.
Great. Lots of food options out there,
We're
too.
We're going to be doing vegetables as well, cucumbers, corn, beans, peas, all the cool crops such as cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, Swiss chard, you name it.
That's great. Well, we want to talk a little bit about propagation, too, because I think a lot of people have gardens, and you actually are also the community garden manager for community services.
Correct.
So you have a lot of gardening experience in addition to being the plant propagation teacher. So there's two basic types of plant propagation, as I understand it, two basic methods, and one is sexual and one is asexual. Let's talk about the asexual methods. Some plants, people think that all plants produce seeds, but some plants, that's just not how they reproduce.
That's true. A lot of plants, if you have a specific cultivar, say, for example, with fruit trees, apple trees specifically, and you have a really good cultivar, well, what you want to do is you want to do a clone of that tree. So what you do is you get a good rootstock that's a healthy rootstock, and you can get a rootstock either for a very dwarf size, a semi-dwarf, or a standard size. But once you graft onto that the cultivar of the variety that you want, it will just have the characteristics of that particular cultivar. Most people have limited space in their gardens, so they're going more with dwarf trees, semi-dwarf, and you can prune those manageable
size. It's so nice, too, when you're going to pick them if they're not like 90 feet tall.
Correct.
So it's nice to have them nice down at, you know, like maybe the top of just a stepladder or something like that is a good height. And
correct.
Then those rootstocks can be really resistant or really work well in the soil types that
exactly.
You have.
Exactly. They are bred for disease resistance and for the strength of the root as well. So when you graft onto it, you get consistent type fruit.
And so like some trees can have multiple fruits on the one tree.
Correct. I have done a 5-in-1 graft on a pear tree, actually. So I have 5 different varieties of pears on a tree. And one of the techniques that they do for that process is that you do a bud type grafting. So all up and down the rootstock, you take a bud from whichever cultivar you want, and you graft the bud in, and you can arrange them so the branches come out where you want them as well. So it's artistic as well.
That is an amazing thing to me. I had never seen that before I took a plant propagation class, but it is seriously just a bud from a tree, just that teeny little place where you see that teeny little bud come
correct.
Out of the side of a branch, and that's all you're replacing from the other cultivar.
Correct. And there's a specific tool that you can use, makes it really easy. It's called a chip budding tool. The most common grafting method that we use is called a saddle graft. So you have to sort of take the cultivar, which is called scion wood, and you make that about 3 to 4 inches. And it's just like taking and putting a saddle over the rootstock then, the way you cut it. One side has a saddle type feature and the other has more of a wedge. So you just fit that right over. So it's just like jumping in a saddle.
Uh-huh. And then everything lines up and the tree just starts
growing
again.
Everything lines up. The important thing is you want to get a good match with the cambium layers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take and you wrap it real tightly with electrical tape. Now, this is not the regular shiny electrical tape. It's a specific rubber type which stretches and it keeps the moisture in. And then you paint it with a grafting paste.
And then you just come back later and check and make sure everything's good.
Correct.
Okay.
And it takes about a year for it to really establish itself.
So some plants, you use cuttings, or you can choose to do cuttings. I mean, some plants have multiple ways that they can be propagated. Someone was telling me recently that figs do really well from cuttings.
Yes, they do. Once you take a cutting, you basically put the plant under stress. It's called wounding, and that causes the natural hormones in the plant, auxins specifically, to go to that site. And it's called wounding, and they travel to that site, and new cells called parenchyma cells start to develop there and develop a callus, and it causes the adventitious type roots to form. And that way you just put it in a good potting medium and wait, and they should take.
It's like magic.
It is. And it's a really easy way to propagate various different plants, and it's cheap too.
What role does the rooting hormone in the process?
Well, it just sort of ensures that there's the proper hormone mix in the concentrations that will sometimes help on difficult to root plants.
One of the things that was interesting to me when I took plant propagation was we actually dipped the plants in a solution of bleach and water.
Yes, you want to sterilize it so if there's any bacteria on the cutting itself, it sort of kills that and sort of nullifies that factor.
But it's a very mild solution.
Right, it's a 10% solution. Yeah. And you should also do your pruning shears as well.
That's true, because that's how you spread disease.
Exactly.
I've done that by accident. Now, layering is another way that plants can be propagated. You can do that to get some good rootstock for the apple trees, right?
Well, for layering, you want to take plants that are very difficult to root from cuttings. It's called air layering process, and that's done specifically right on the parent plant. There's a whole technique, and YouTube has a lot of different methods for that. Essentially, what you want to do is take and put a good spag of moss. You have to strip around a strip of about an inch long around the bark area to expose the cambium layer. There's several different methods. You can put a rooting hormone compound on there, but another method which has had success is using honey.
Really?
Yes. And why that works, I don't know. But the gentleman who does it, he swears by it.
Huh.
And so then he wraps it with a spag of moss really good, and he uses a plastic bottle he cuts and puts it around there and then duct tapes that on.
Oh, kind of keeps it warm and humid.
Keeps it moist, yes. Uh-huh. Then you know, if you're in an area where there's a lot of sunlight, you take and wrap tinfoil around that to keep the factor of the sunlight down and the heat.
Oh, okay. And now you guys are doing some interesting thing, you and your students there in the class. Now tell me about this new thing that you guys have been grafting together, because it seems kind of odd, but when you think about it, it makes sense.
Well, this is a newer kind of thing that's a lot of nurseries are doing right now and offering is grafting a tomato on a potato. So you're getting two crops in one. And an easy way to do it is you just take an ordinary 5-gallon bucket and you fill it up about a third of the way, and you take your seed potato. And you put that in the bucket, and you grow that up. And once it starts coming up, you, of course, you have your tomato plant started as well. And when you have the correct diameters of both stems, you graft that on.
Now, do you use that saddle graft? Or
no, this is a different method. You just slice down the middle of the potato, and then you make a wedge on the tomato part. You stick that in, and then you wrap it with either saran wrap or a budding type tape, and you also put a splint on it so it doesn't fall over.
Oh, sure.
And that way you have tomatoes, and once the tomato crop is done, you take and empty out the bucket, and you have a second crop of potatoes.
That is wild. Now, a lot of people might think that's like Frankenfood. You know, they get concerned about GMOs, but that's not at all a genetically modified.
Not at all. In fact, the one thing advantage to this is that you're able to take and graft on heirloom type varieties onto, you know, various different type of potatoes. So you're getting heirloom varieties and, you know, good, you know, straight organic type food.
Well, because it's an organic farm
exactly.
out there.
Exactly.
Great. Well, do they have names? Is it called a tomato or something?
It's a potato? I don't know.
I don't know. But if people are interested in getting one, they should come to the College of the Redwoods plant sale, which is
the last week of April, Friday, April the 29th, and Saturday, April the 30th.
Great. Thanks a lot. This has been Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Steve Pilecki. He is the College of the Redwoods Agriculture Program Plant Propagation Instructor. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.